1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Coming up, a special on the Margaret Gray Collection. This hour, you'll be hearing some of the bigger songs and bigger hits from her forthcoming album, The Margaret Gray Collection, Am I or Am I? That's coming up right after our first break. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to our program. The latest news is that there's a Bin Laden tape out, and he still looks like crap, and they don't know whether he's alive or not. This new tape, I saw this thing. He looks like hell. I mean, I don't like the guy at all, and I'm worried for him. Now, I don't know what it is with these tapes, and here's one other thing that I wanted to mention, by the way. The FBI says that there is increased chatter and increased traffic. That must mean that Al-Qaeda is going to try something. Well, do they know what it is they're saying? When there's increased chatter and increased traffic, doesn't that necessarily... It doesn't not follow then that you will figure out what it is they're saying with the increased chatter? It could be just, you know... Hey, somebody stole the car. Yeah, really? Yeah, you know, somebody, they didn't take the empties back. How much are we getting? How much are cigarettes, man? You want to go run for pizza? There's increased chatter. So, in other words, they know that they're going to try something, right? I think the whole thing that's going on right now is a lot of disinformation. I think Cheney said what he said to throw Al-Qaeda off a little bit, or whoever it is that's planning these bombings, to make them think that we're onto them and maybe they'll back off. You know, there's a little bit of that happening. And then this Bin Laden tape. Did you see this? It's the same one of him wearing the flak jacket with that beanie that he wears, and he's sitting in the middle of a vacant lot again. He's not sitting in a chair. One of these days we'll get a tape where he's in a chair, he's clean-shaven, he's sporting a... You know, maybe a three-day growth of George Michael beard, a couple of rings, and he's having a cocktail. Just anything, man. So the tape is being released by someone who's running that organization now as a way of inspiring the troops. It's propaganda. The guy's got to be dead. He's got to be dead. If he was alive, don't you think he'd rub somebody's face in it? Don't you think about now he would say... You didn't kill me. And you'll never find me. Or is he so deathly afraid that we will nail him if he releases any contemporary tape that we'll be able to trace him or track him somehow that he just doesn't even want to take that chance? Is that how paranoid he is? That's my friend Craig Taylor's opinion. I don't know. I think the guy is cold. I think he's cold. I think he's worm food. I think he lays there fertilizing the daisies from the proper end. I think he's dirt napping, a dirt nap of the ages. I think he's gone. Heading west on a gurney. On second thought, maybe he isn't. 1-800-449-8686 here in the Phil Hendry Show. Well, what do you think? And look at him. Within 3 months, the guy is white. I've seen that happen to people. I saw that happen to my dad, and I don't want to get maudlin here, but my father, before he died, he turned gray overnight. He had a relatively salt and pepper thing going. The next day, this cat was solid silver. Same things happened to Bin Laden. He looked healthy, happy. He looked like he was, you know, getting his vitamins. He looked like he was getting fiber. Where they showed him shooting a gun, that same endless reel of tape that they showed him shooting the gun and then standing there with a walkie-talkie, remember that? And he was thin, and he was lean, and... playing a little pickup basketball. They had him relaxing in a spa. And then the next thing you see, you didn't see that Bin Laden tape? If I was Bin Laden, I would release a tape with me sitting by a pool, you know, greetings from Kauai, greetings from Molokai, Bin. I know he thinks it's very, very interesting that we sit here mocking him because our day will come. We're Westerners, we're infidels, we're scum, and he'll show us. We can have our laugh now because they will have the final say. Well, then let me have my laugh, okay? Who's directing this Al-Qaeda, by the way? Who's letting this tape out? Who's releasing this information? And who is behind all this increased chatter that the FBI tells us they hear that perhaps portends future violence, near future violence? Who is doing this? Who's the new leader? Where is he? Taylor, go find him. Because that's something else they got to answer the question on. Somebody is directing these guys. Increased traffic. Just like they had increased traffic before 9/11, but they didn't put two and two together. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But I do know that that idea that Vernon Dozier had, a new lesbian corps, is the beginning of some very positive steps we can take. By the way, guess who we're going to be buying oil from now? Russia. Yeah, okay, that's great. Now, it's just to talk about putting the other foot in it. Great. So now we don't have to rely on them Saudi Arabians. Now we rely on the Russians for oil. Start pumping that stuff out of the ground up in the Arctic like you said you were going to and quit fooling around. How many birds are getting off in Russia so we can get a couple of more pints into the old SUV? How many beautiful little seagulls and seals and sea lions and whoever, what other kind of animal we're killing, caribou, are getting croaked over in Russia because we're pumping that stuff out of the ground over there? We don't want to kill the caribou up in Northern America, right up here on the Canadian border, but all them Russian caribou are dying. Why? Because that's Russia. I happen to care about the Russian caribou. Anybody out there with me? All right. I say kill our caribou before we kill the Russian kind. It's insane. It's insane. It's insanity. It's stupidity and it's insanity to sit here and say that it is an environmental risk for us to drill oil or pump oil out of the ground in North America, in our own reserves, but continue to buy it from hostile enemy states like Saudi Arabia. It's stupidity that is unparalleled in the annals of the world. It is ignorance unparalleled in the annals of the world to say, all right, I'll buy the Russian oil because I don't care, frankly, what happens to their environment. That's just one big toilet over there. But we're not going to drill any of our own oil because the caribou up in Alaska, it's really pretty to look at on a cruise ship in August. It's not environmental consciousness. It's absolute stupidity that the world has never seen before. We're breaking all records for it. But that's a different world. You know, I was thinking, you know how they say that a decade is 10 years long or a century is 100 years long? Do you notice how decades and centuries don't exactly end on the chronological calendar date or year? I'll give you an example. The 60s didn't really begin until Kennedy was assassinated. Up until that point, we were still living in the 50s. What do I mean by that? There was this sensibility in the country, Fabian, Elvis, greasers ruled. The dry look wasn't in, man. A four-man rock and roll band back in those days was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons standing there snapping their fingers, right? After Kennedy and the Beatles came, guys actually played guitars. It's a whole different thing. It was the 60s. The 60s didn't end until the resignation, in my opinion, of Richard Nixon. So the 60s lasted roughly from November of 1963 to August of 1974. And all the turmoil that we know as the 60s took place in that period of time. The 70s perhaps were one of the shortest decades on record, along with the 80s. The 70s went from the time that Nixon was resigned until the election of Ronald Reagan. That was the 70s. That was about 7 years. Reagan's election, goodbye, 70s. It was done, over, finished. Disco is dead. Then the 80s went from about the time Reagan was elected to the Wall Street crash in October of 87. Some of you are old enough to remember October of 87. There was a huge 500-point drop on Wall Street in October of 87, and that was the beginning of the end of the prosperity of the 80s and ushered in then the recession, the early recession years of the 90s. And the 90s just finished. The 90s and the 20th century itself just finished back on September 11, 2001, baby. That was the end of the 90s, and that was the end of the 20th century. 20th century hadn't really ended yet. And I think it's just now dawning on people how different things are now. I think it's just now dawning on people. Everything else looks stupid to me now. Just to give an example, my decade was the 70s. I was in my 20s in the 70s. I look at the sensibility and the movies from then. Everything looks idiotic to me. Just idiotic. The stuff we worried about, the things that were important, now we're in a real war. Now we're in a war where our very soil is threatened, where our very lives on our very homeland are threatened. So what do I care about some attitude that is this post-70s attitude of materialism and environmental decay? When I now know that my very survival is at stake and the survival of my country, a country I happen to care very much for, and one that I am not so cavalier to view as to say, I think if we sit down and we negotiate, I think there's a lot more to be learned through the hardcore. I am also smart enough to know that when there is a time for war, baby, and a time for peace, you know what, like the man said, there's a time for war and a time for peace. And you may want it to be peacetime, but it ain't. It's not. It's not. It's not. I hate to lay that bummer on you, but coming up, Margaret Gray and her collection of greatest hits. So that'll get a little, kind of a smile on your face and cause you to run to the bathroom a few times. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Cavco Entertainment presents The Margaret Gray Collection.
Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Many of you know me from The Phil Hendry Show as the entertainment reporter. I've interviewed the likes of Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, and so many, many others. But many of you don't know that my true desire in life was to be a singer. With the Margaret Gray Collection, Version B, the Alabaster Series, now you too can own some of these timeless, timeless pieces. Here's my very good friend Phil Hendry to tell you how.
The Margaret Gray Collection is a collection of songs that Margaret sang on our program, most recently during the Teds of Beverly Hills fundraiser to get people to buy his Teds of Beverly Hills shirt.
Right you are, Phil. These are some of my favorite songs. And we capture these songs, me singing behind the scenes, some studio chit-chat. We also have dramatic moments, moments when people tried to sabotage my efforts and my career. We have beautiful songs like I'm a Woman, When You Walk Through a Storm, and of course the timeless, the classic Snowbird. It's all here, including Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I forget the rest.
The classic moment in the studio when I soldiered on singing Downtown, even though a crank caller to Phil's show tried to destroy the beautiful Downtown.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, Downtown. I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry. It's highly inappropriate.
It's moments like those that give me strength. Strength to realize my dream as a singer. And why not? When you have such beautiful songs as Who Can Turn the World On With Her Smile to Sing, the theme from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Do do do, do woo do do. Who can turn the world on with a smile? 1, 2, 3, 4. Who can make her face turn bright? I don't know the lyrics, Phil. And suddenly make it all worth it. Wow, it's you, girl, and you can...
That's great. Thank you.
And what about this beautiful ditty? I Say a Little Prayer.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Would you get to the song, please?
I'm sorry. one, two, three, and a one, two. Oh, I say a little prayer for you. The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Together, together, you're staying up.
I got it, okay. I got that.
And I will love you.
I got it.
Yes, despite the impatience of Phil Henry, my dream stays a reality. Who could want more than this beautiful Lionel Richie composition sung by me, Margaret Gray? The song is called Say You, Say Me. Another example of an individual breaking into the studio. An individual breaking into the studio during the recording session and trying to do me bodily harm.
Say you, say me. Oh, say it for always. Oh, that's the way it should be.
Man.
Say you, say. Say it together, together, naturally. Can you believe an African-American wrote this film?
All right. And of course, the classic. The song that put Anne Marie on the map, Snowbird.
One, two, one, two, three. And beneath this snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
Just a taste of a song that I know will live in our hearts forever, Snowbird. I then took on the Stevie Wonder classic Superstition, knowing full well that people wanted to stop me from singing the song. You'll hear Lloyd Bonafide attack me during the singing of this song. The filthy bastard attacked me, but I soldier on.
Very with it, Phil.
Yeah, it's very with it.
Come on, everyone. $50 million will do the trick on Aerosmith. Oh, very superstitious. Oh, I love it. The ladder's about to fall. Excuse me. 13 months old baby broke the looking glass. I don't understand. It doesn't rhyme. 7 years of bad luck.
Jesus!
The good things in your path. What's wrong with you?
God, help me!
Oh, when you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer.
Ow! Better just stop! Very. Stop it!
Who is that?
It's Lloyd, Phil.
Better just stop!
You ass!
Hello?
What do you think the world needs now? I think the world needs love.
Oh, what the world needs now, oh, is love.
Can we, you know,
Don't ever interrupt me when I'm singing.
The song from the classic Carousel kept so many people going through such hard times.
Da, 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 da. I can wash out 40 pairs of socks, da, do, 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 and have them hanging out on the line. Boo, 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 boo. I can starch an iron 2 dozen shirts.
This isn't from Carousel.
Well, hold on.
Nine.
This isn't from Carousel.
Boo, 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 boo.
Well, we're playing this.
Up a great big dipper.
Ow.
Full of lard.
I don't want this song.
Can. Throw it in the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan, because I'm a woman. W-M-A-N.
All of these can be yours in the Margaret Gray collection on The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Rudy Canoza is a designer, fashion designer of the Coachella bikini, which is very popular for this coming summer season. And Je T'aime Lingerie is a store on Ventura Boulevard in the Valley that specializes in his designs. We're going to talk about his store and his designs and some controversy that has erupted in recent weeks around some of his designs and around the policy, his in-store policy. And Rudy, thank you for joining our program, and thanks very much for being on the Phil Hendry Show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tell me about the Coachella bikini and also... Well, these charges of sexual harassment.
Well, I think the charges of sexual harassment are trumped up from the competitors, from people who wish my store to be out of business. My store, you have to understand, is the only foreign-owned women's design store in the several blocks of the San Fernando Valley.
Yours is the only one that's owned by a foreigner.
I am from Argentina, that's my nationality, but I think there is some xenophobia, anti-foreign sentiment, because the Coachella bikini is a beautiful design. It's not quite as scarce as a dog, but it does show the beauty of a woman's hips. It wraps the curves of the buttocks. The top is probably the most incredible design. It makes even the smallest woman look as if she is bigger. But my designs are like my children, and in America, most recently, I have been hearing about this child molestation by priests.
That is true.
And people don't want their children to be molested. The word is what I would apply to my design. I don't want my design to be molested because my design is my children.
All right, well, the molesting of children we take very seriously in this country. I don't know that you want to make a comparison between a bikini that you designed and a child.
But for me, this is my child. And the women who come, some women come into my store and molest my child.
Well, all right, so your store has a policy. You don't sell these bikinis to women over a size 10.
No, a size 10 or more we don't. And because of that, we have had problems. And this is my right.
You consider a woman size 10 and larger wearing one of your bikinis, she's molesting one of your children?
This is my design. It's my child. For a woman who is still, she's too big. And I can't do it. I can't have it. I'm not going to have it. You can't make me. No one can make me do this.
All right. But the sexual harassment we have to talk about.
I let every woman know who walks to this store that I think is attractive. I use a Latin technique, which we have used for many years in Latin America, to let the woman know she's attractive.
You're standing at the counter as beautiful women walk into your store, and you're doing what?
I look at them, and I go... I stick my tongue out.
You stick your tongue out, and you wag it at them.
Yes, I do, but this is very common. Very common.
Among Latin American men?
Yes.
All right. It may be one thing to wag your tongue at a woman who is... There it is right there, okay?
That's right. That's what we call a size 10 alert.
All right. It may be one thing to be wagging... Jesus.
See, you think it's funny.
No, I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. Why is that going off?
Because we've got a lot of women coming into the store right now who we have to alert the salespeople. Cannot get into my design. I will not let them get into my design. I can't have that. I will not let my design be molested by these women.
And you don't care that that word molest is very charged.
I don't want for children to be molested, but I don't... My child is my design. And you hear that? You see that?
Yeah, that means another woman who's too large for bikinis just come into the store.
Right. That lets the salespeople know that a big ship is coming in. That's why we use that.
Well, I think it's insulting to women who may want to wear something fashionable and who... Listen to that. Aren't you embarrassed?
No, because if a good-looking woman comes to the door, an attractive woman comes to the door...
Then you do this thing with the tongue?
No, it's... You make it sound as if it is obscene. It's not obscene.
Well, what do you do?
If an attractive woman who is under a size 10, or a woman that I would not mind to see in my bikini comes to the front door, I look at her and I go... I flick the tongue out several times, and hold on for a minute. See, you don't want me to say.
Is that another fat woman?
She's an oil tanker. escape through the...
By the sound of the foghorn going off, you got a lot of large women coming in.
This where is bikini season. It's time for the beach. And all sizes. Well, here's... You see, that was it.
Was that a good-looking woman?
Yes.
Well, people have complained about your store just as we hear that foghorn going off. And you doing that to, I assume that's a good-looking woman?
Two of them came in. And one was, they were girlfriends. And one was, you know, and the other one was, What I'm trying to do, it makes me to cry to see a big woman stretch my beautiful Coachella bikini like a balloon. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't have it. You can't make me.
Well, one thing that the laws in the state of California do dictate is there is no such thing as sexual harassment. And when a woman comes through the door who's good-looking, you can't stand there and wag your tongue at her.
But this is not a sexual harassment. This is to appreciate a woman and to let her know that she is an attractive woman.
Yeah, but if two women walk through the door of your store...
Yes.
And one of them happens to be fat, and you give her the foghorn, and the other one's beautiful, and you give her that...
It's very simple. Just... La, 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 la.
And there's nothing sexual about that, huh?
No, it's not. Listen to that. This is a bad day. I'm going to have my girls just take the bikinis off the racks and put them in the back. I don't know.
So, all right. So that's not sexual harassment?
No, it's not. Look at this. Here comes... Look at it. Look at that. Wow. Oh, but here comes the other one, see? They come in pairs. One's and the other's... With all these fatties coming in, there must be an all-you-can-eat special KFC next door. I don't know.
You know, you're really juvenile.
You're the one that wrote this bit.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Bill Carter in the New York Times. Who wants to be a millionaire? Probably the most powerful force in American entertainment only 2 years ago died last week as a regular primetime show after a long period of declining health. It was 3 years old. The cause of death? Complete exhaustion compounded by overexposure to harsh competitive elements. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It was invented in 1999... It was a child prodigy. They put it on 3 times a week. Then they put it on 4 times a week. They decided to bank every nickel that they made off of that show. They squeezed every little bit of life out of it. They bled it until it was white. And they threw it into the street and let a truck run it over. Actually, I added all of that. That wasn't Bill Carter. That was me. But that's basically what they did to it. Regis Philbin, who we could only stand looking at once a week, was heard to say... Well, I still got the Live with Kelly show. That's right. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember when that show was it? Is that your final answer? And all of the marvelous things that come with television programs. You know, a show that has that impact, that kind of impact, that kind of reach, that kind of recognition, that name value, that it is so deep into the culture in such relatively short a period of time, that it's you cease to believe what you're hearing and seeing, you figure to have a few more legs on it than 3 years worth. It's gone, baby. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is gone. I was reflecting on this last week. Remember Darman Gregg when that was such a big thing? Gone. Remember X-Files? Dead. Now, I know every show ends, but some shows actually go out on top. Witness Seinfeld, I think MASH, Cheers... Shows that go out after a big, strong, successful run, and they're not dying on the vine. But Darman Gregg and Ally McBeal, I remember people wouldn't shut up about that show. Every time I turned around, it was somebody yapping about, did you see Ally McBeal last night? Well, I guess not enough people saw Ally McBeal last night. That one's gone. Wait till this CSI goes under in 24, and wait till ER finally just nobody wants to watch that anymore. Just amazing, the shows that people are hooked on. X-Files was everything. Hey, by the way, tonight is the final Ally McBeal episode, if anybody cares. The final Ally McBeal episode. Ally McBeal episode. Do they write it knowing the show is going to get canceled?
Yeah.
Do they? They got to write. I would write an episode. See you next season. Just waving. You have the whole cast standing there waving. We'll see you next season right here on Fox. And see if they got the guts to pull it. What other show just stiffed? Oh, all of them. Spin City. Oh, my God, Spin City. Robert Downey Jr. was supposed to have bailed that one out. And wasn't that Robert Downey Jr. was on Spin City? Charlie Sheen. What did Robert Downey Jr. do? He did Ally McBeal. Charlie Sheen came on Spin City and promptly sent it sailing right into the toilet. No, I'm kidding. He helped it, but not enough, I guess. I don't know what the problem was. Even Michael J. Fox with Parkinson's would have been better than... Bring him back. Even if he's got a little bit of a problem, bring him back. So it's just kind of funny, you know, what's hot and what isn't, and what's been going on and what isn't going on. So look at that. Millionaire is gone, and I remember when it was so simply, the number one show on TV, because it was just asking people questions. It was a trivia contest is what it was. People dig trivia. They just love that. Remember Trivial Pursuit? And that was huge. And people still like trivia games. Okay. What's the name of the little guy who is the Alka-Seltzer that you threw into the Speedy? You got it. And it's all just meaningless crap, and it never ceases to gain our attention. And the reason for that is because it's the easiest stuff to remember. It's the stuff that everybody remembers or everyone's fascinated with because it's a big trivia show. Weakest Link is a trivia show, but Weakest Link is based upon somebody being a piece of crap, and, you know, that's what that show's about. Who's the weakest link? You know, who's the turd? Well, right now, I guess it's Ann Robinson. Sorry to say that, Ann, but, you know, if they'd had a better host, that show would still be on the air. But you stunk the joint out seven shades of crap, man. Bad news with you. I know you had a lot to say about America and what a real toilet this place is. And in many ways, you're right. But, Ann, I can tell you this much. You didn't do much to brighten it up around here. Go from that kisser of yours to that black pantsuit that you kept on wearing to those glasses to your bad teeth. Everything about you said British. And we can take a little bit of that, but not a lot of that here in this country. You're flushed. You love those limeys opening their big, fat bazoos. I guess I'm going to get somebody calling me now talking about, I shouldn't talk about the limeys that way. You know, that lady in the first hour of the show, when I was saying jarhead, I said it with great affection. Great affection. But I stand by what I said. Marines can't drink. They can't drink. You give these guys two beers and they're ripping a bar apart. But I will say this for the British. They're very funny. I find them to be hysterically funny people. Not particularly good-looking, but hysterically funny people. Although, as game show host, man, don't put them on an American television show and have them have to fit into that format. You don't do that with the British, all right? They're good with that whole Monty Python bullcrap and all that Benny Hill BS and that ab fab until you want to puke. I got one for you. I mean, I'll tell you right now, you get any Marine you want to sit down in here. Any Marine you want to sit down in here will have a tequila drinking contest. Only he's got to be about my size. Come on. Come on, you ain't going to get some guy 8 feet, 9 inches tall. Guy's got to be 6 foot, 220. How about that? And we'll sit here and we'll do shot for shot the old Don Julio Blanco. And I'm going to tell you right now, get anyone you want. Paris Island, Camp Pendleton, I don't care where. I'm going to have that. He'll be asleep sawing logs on the floor, and I'll be still sitting here. You know why? Because most of them are young kids. That's all I'm saying. It's got nothing to do with their ability as men. They're kids. They're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. They came off the farm, they're lifting weights, and they're doing their thing for their country, and that's a great thing. But, you know, there's only so much a guy can handle, right? Learn how to shoot a rifle, learn how to be a, you know, get out there and kick ass in Al-Qaeda. I mean, your tequila drinking is going to have to take a back seat. So you can't really sit there and say, well, he can do all of that stuff, and on top of kicking ass, he can drink Henry under the table, because it ain't going to happen. You got to understand, man, I got a 20-year head start on some of these guys. That's all I was saying. I didn't mean anything. I would mean no disrespect. And yes, I know one of our young guys lost his life over there. I'm the guy that's been here for month after month after month reminding people that we got something going on over there. And it isn't just a TV photo op, and it isn't some kind of a, you know, an evening, you know, entertainment profile or a variety show. It's a real war. I like talking about it because I think for the first time in generations, this country has got something worthwhile to fight for. As opposed to these vague and foggy notions of warfare, whether it be the Gulf-Kuwait situation or the Vietnam War or whatever else, this is something that has to do with us. And you know that guy, what's his name, Bruce Willis, sent all those Girl Scout cookies? How about sending over about 1,600 cases of Don Julio as long as we're on the subject? What do you mean sending them Girl Scout cookies? That's Afghanistan. That ain't Saudi Arabia. They let the guys drink over there. They got some of the best moonshine going over there, and we're going to send them. You know what we ought to do is put together some kind of a care package of tequila for the United States Marines in Afghanistan. I dare anybody to top that. How do we do that? Who do we ship it to? Are we going to get a nice letter back from the Marine Corps saying, "Dear Mr. Henry, thank you very much, but our boys have better things to do than do shots, okay? So thanks a lot. Bug off. Go pound sand. USMC. Now, if you got any Girl Scout cookies, we'd be happy to spread them around." No, man, I ain't got no Girl Scout cookies, okay? A, I ain't going to buy any more Girl Scout cookies for my daughter. She can go out and stand in front of a supermarket like all the other hardworking Girl Scouts. And B, Don Julio Blanco. So how do we get that to work? I don't know. I don't know how these things happen, okay? I got no promotion department. There's nobody here that does any marketing for this program. We just get these ideas, and they go out one ear and out the other. Why wouldn't Don Julio Blanco send over free of charge cases of tequila to the U.S. Marines, huh? Why don't you send it to the Marines in Saudi Arabia? See what those ragheads over there like about it. Yeah, that's right. I said raghead. Just kidding. See what they think about that. What are you doing? Well, all this tequila is going to those Marines over there. You got a problem with that? Go wrap another towel, okay? Because it's coming on through, baby. Okay, Monday is now out of my system. Everything's going to be cool tomorrow. I'm going to have a nice, sweet, nice disposition. Everything's going to be beautiful. No anger, no, nothing hardcore. I'll be a real sweet, sweetheart of a guy, okay? That'll be tomorrow. Today, though, what do you want? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry.